Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead man's bones and every kind of filth. Even so, on the outside you appear righteous, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets, you adorn the memorials of the righteous, and you say, 'If we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have joined them in shedding the prophets' blood.' Thus you bear witness against yourself that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When you study sacred scripture, one of the things that we see is that God's love is both paternal and maternal, both masculine and feminine. We see that grammatically. God the Father's love is first hesed, masculine, loyal, faithful, challenging, merciful. But it's also rahamim. It's tender. "Even if a mother should forget her child, never would I be able to forget you." There's this type of bondedness, both paternal and maternal, is the way God loves us. And it's the way he wants his church constantly loving. And we see that exemplified in St. Paul's words from yesterday and today. We didn't have the chance to convene yesterday, but at the end of the passage from the first reading, St. Paul says to the Christians in Thessalonica, "We were gentle among you, as a nursing mother cares for her children. With such affection for you, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well, so dearly beloved had you become to us." A mother breastfeeds, and that's what he's talking about, sharing not only nourishment, but her very body with her child. And in the same way, St. Paul was handed himself over as a libation, given his body willingly over to the torturers, together with the Word of God, in order to breastfeed the early Christians with the faith. St. Paul was loving the early Christians with this type of maternal love. And in today's passage, we see that he's similarly loving with paternal love. "As you know," he wrote, "we treated each one of you as a father treats his children." So a mother's love is tender. It pulls close. It forms that most intimate of human bonds. A father, with courage and trust in a child, pushes the child with confidence, with training, with protection, out into the world. "As you know, we treated you each as a father treats his children, exhorting and encouraging you and insisting that you walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Insisting with fatherly confidence that they can do it, that they can journey through the paths of this world, following Christ's footsteps all the way to the Father's eternal embrace. For each of us, it's so important for us to learn how to love this way. We'll return to this in a second. One of the ways that that St. Paul, as a spiritual dad and a spiritual mom, was encouraging the first Christians to grow was with respect to the Word of God. We have this beautiful passage at the end of today's reading. Paul was exultingly giving thanksgiving to God that the Thessalonian Christians received the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it truly is the Word of God at work in you who believe. He knew that one of the most important things he could do is to help them open themselves up to the love of God, maternal and paternal, in the Word that he has given. It's a word that challenges, as a dad does, and it's a word that comforts, as a mom does. Challenges them to be holy as the Lord is holy. but also giving confidence. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That God has given them, in fact, the very help he knows they're going to need in order to be able to walk in a manner worthy of the kingdom. That he's going to help them to love others as he has loved them first. To receive the power of the Word of God and to align our life with it. With the scribes and the Pharisees in today's gospel reading, and as we've seen in these seven woes in the 23rd chapter of St. Matthew, they had the Word of God, but they were not letting it hit them with all its power. They were receiving it, in essence, with stony hearts. We know who the scribes and the Pharisees were. After the exile, when the Jews returned home and had Ezra and Nehemiah read the scrolls, and they wept for hours because they recognized that the 70 years in captivity were all precisely because they had been unfaithful to the covenant, unfaithful to God's word. So the scribes, this new class of scholars, rose up in order to study every littlest detail of the Word of God so that they wouldn't miss it. And the Pharisees were those who had committed themselves to living exactly as the scribes taught. Many of the scribes and the Pharisees were the same people. Because of their zeal for the Word of God, they not only wanted to know it, but they wanted to live it. But what happened over the course of time? They became proud. They thought that they owned it. They thought that they knew it. God could no longer change them. So we start to see the acting, literally the hypocrisy, of the scribes and the Pharisees throughout this chapter. Today Jesus says that externally they're beautiful, but internally they're full of death and filth. On the outside they appear holy, but on the inside they're filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. And at the very end, he describes that they're going to fill out what their ancestors measured. Their ancestors had killed the prophets. They were actually going to kill the Word of God incarnate, and that they were plotting right then for his death. They knew the Word of God, every single letter. They had memorized most of the Hebrew Bible, but they hadn't grasped what its meaning was. Its power was not unleashed. And in fact, that word, as Jesus said elsewhere in St. John's Gospel, would be their judge. Somebody, on the other hand, who did respond to the Word of God as it truly is, and who through that Word became one of the greatest spiritual lovers of all time, exemplifying the paternal and maternal dimensions of Christian love, is St. Augustine, whom the Church celebrates today. We know that he fled from the Word of God. It was all around him. But he wasn't open, because he wanted to continue to sin. He knew that there would be a death that's necessary to really enter into the Christian life, and he wasn't ready for it. Give me chastity, but not yet. But then that day in his friend's backyard in Milan, when he heard the angels, not knowing it was an angel, saying, "Tole et lege," take up and read. He ran over to where the scriptures were. Scripture dove into Romans 13, talking about giving up the way of darkness and debauchery and truly living as a child of the light. And he received that word as it really was, with all its power. He fully allowed God's grace to enter. And that was his conversion. And he began to study the Word of God just like he had studied the ancients in rhetoric. And he unleashed his power, its total power, to change his life around. Eventually went back to North Africa, founded a monastery, started to write his great treatises. But there was another advance that had to come through that Word of God at work within him in faith. He needed to learn paternal and maternal love. And that happened in what Pope Benedict called his second conversion, when he'd gone to visit a friend in Hippo, and the elderly bishop was preaching. with a very weak voice, and he begged the people at Mass to pray that God would send someone to be his coadjutor, someone who could carry on the preaching task while he was still alive and then after God had called him home. And everybody looked around, and Aurelius Augustinus was present with them. And they said, we've got a candidate right here, and he wanted to flee. But eventually, he pondered what St. Paul had written in his second letter to the Corinthians, to Corinthians 5:15, something we should all ponder. If Christ died for us, then we should live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us. He recognized that it wasn't enough just for him to love God in the monastery, for him to have everybody else live by the rule he himself had composed. But he needed to care for God's people. One of the reasons why he hesitated to become a bishop is he knew he wouldn't be able to write in the way that he had before, that it'd be constantly interrupted by widows, constantly interrupted by orphans, constantly interrupted by everybody who had any type of need. He was selfish a little bit at this point, but the Lord changed him. The Word of God converted his heart, and he said yes to this call. And anybody who knows St. Augustine knows that his writing changed from that point forward. The great treasures that we have for him is the way that he nourished simple people with God's Word. He wasn't writing for the literati of the time. He was starting to preach homilies and write for ordinary Christians. And he did so in a way in which he was able to pass on through his paternal heart his own love for the Word of God. He wrote in the passage we'll read today in the breviary, late have I loved thee, O beauty ever ancient, beauty ever new, late have I loved thee. He recognized that God was calling to him. He was shouting. He was piercing his deafness, but he had been impervious to that summons, that God was shining around him, but he was blind, that God's fragrance enveloped him, but he couldn't notice the holy odor, that God was reaching out to touch him, but he couldn't feel that touch. But after his conversion, he did, and he helped all of us to know how God wants to come into our life through all our senses, beginning with our hearing, because faith comes ex auditu. It comes from this power of hearing God's word and letting it do its own thing on good soil. The very end of that beautiful passage, he said, I tasted, and now I hunger for more. The Lord each morning allows us to taste him, so that our hunger might not attenuate, but strengthen. Today we're supposed to hunger for him more than we did yesterday, way more than we did the day of our first communion. We're supposed to have a crescendo of hunger all the way to our viaticum. St. Augustine is praying that today we might hear his words, the Lord's words, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, and allow those words totally to change us from the inside, so that like St. Paul prayed, in receiving this word, we might receive it as it truly is, and allow it to get to work